For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Praise the Lord, let's open in prayer tonight as we come around the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you for your blessing in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for the strength that you give us to stand even in times of trouble or adversity, but that, Lord, you are with us. And we remember that even tonight, that you are with us and you never leave us nor forsake us, and that you are our defence and strength and rock. And we praise you, Lord, for that. And I ask, Lord, that every person here that hears this message would understand and receive if by faith and understanding coming through a heart that is pure before the Lord. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tonight we're looking at strength and spiritual understanding. Strength and spiritual understanding. And, you know, it's often the times that there is some sort of trouble or adversity in a person's life or something that comes up to them, such as a circumstance or a bad report or something like that, which is like a test in people's lives. And that test shows whether they are able to stand, whether, you know, in the quiet times they've done what is necessary, such as prayer and fasting and getting into the Word and being faithful to God, all those things which build strength. If you haven't been doing that in the times of peace, how can you hope to be strong in the times of adversity? And so let's have a look at some scriptures. Let's look at Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8, and we'll look at verses 12 to 15 in Proverbs 8. And this talks about having the wisdom of God. In Proverbs 8, starting from verse 12, and obviously we know, and you should be aware, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, not the end of it, but the beginning of it, and you grow by having that fear, the fear of the Lord, in your heart. We'll look at that scripture in a minute, but let's look starting from verse 8, starting from verse 12, and then we'll go to verse 15. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Let me just stop there. If you are not hating evil, and it goes through several areas there, pride, arrogancy, the evil way, the froward or rebellious mouth. If you find that you're not hating that type of thing, you need to examine your heart and ask why. Why? And you've got to understand that if evil is rearing its head, this can be a test for us to see whether we do indeed have the fear of the Lord in our lives. If we're agreeing with all the evil, agreeing with pride, agreeing with arrogance, agreeing with the evil way, and agreeing with the froward mouth, then you know that the fear of the Lord is lacking there. Because the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. It's not to love it, not to be passive about it, but to hate it. And this is a good type of hate that the Lord wants his people to have. Verse 14 says, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength. So it's important for us to be investing in these areas of godly counsel. So you're not going to get the godly counsel at the local pub, for example. You're not going to be able to go there or to the nightclubs on a regular basis and think that, you know, you've got the right counsel to be able to stand in times of adversity. No, they're likely to be feeding you fear, unbelief, and blasphemy in these places. And that's not an exaggeration. So you need to be in a place where you can get godly counsel, because counsel is mine. That's talking about the wisdom of God and sound wisdom. So soundness. There is the wisdom of the world, and the wisdom of the world will say all types of things as to what you should do or shouldn't do. And much of that wisdom will lead you along a path of destruction or compromise. That's not of God. God wants us to have understanding. That's why it says, I am understanding, I have strength. He wants us to be strong people. He doesn't want us to be people that are buckling under pressure, that as soon as a tiding of fear comes, that we think, oh, woe is me. No, no, we should be, if we've been investing the word into our heart and praying and believing God, then if that bad tiding comes, you say, well, I refuse to fear. I'm not going to let my heart be troubled in the name of Jesus, because God is my defense. God is my fortress. God is my refuge. He's my health, and so on. And so what we need to do is, in the times, not just in times of adversity, but even in the times when there's relative peace around us in our lives, we need to be doing the right thing. Of course, if you haven't been doing that and you come to adversity, well, the best thing is to put yourself into a place of godly counsel, and then you can be directed into the right ways. Notice it says in verse 15, by me kings reign and princes decree justice. Now, you should see yourself as a king and a priest. The Bible tells us, for example, in Revelation chapter 1, that we are kings and priests unto God. And so it's by godly wisdom, understanding, the fear of the Lord, that's how we reign in life. And the Bible says in Romans, for example, it talks about we reign in life by one, the Lord Jesus Christ. So God wants us to be people reigning in life. He doesn't want us to be buckling under pressure. He wants us to be able to endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, to have a bit of endurance in us, to be able to stand even when others might not stand. And that's what Ephesians 6 says, having done all to stand, stand. And we must be people that understand, and that's what it's talking about, I am understanding, I have strength, by me kings reign. We're going to have that understanding, and we're going to have that strength. And so we can be encouraged in the Lord, because he is, for example, our shepherd, and we know Psalm 23, which talks about him leading us beside the still waters, and him being the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He doesn't want us to be in lack. He wants us to have that strength and to know that he is with us. He is our shepherd. He is with us. But of course, you know, there's many people who don't have that understanding. They don't, they're leaving aside the word of God, and they don't put the word into their lives on a constant basis, and they're not praying or fasting or doing any such thing. So verse 16 says, by me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. We need to be seeking wisdom early. Verse 18 says, riches and honour are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. There's good things along the way of following God's wisdom. You know, even we see in Daniel 6 that even when everything was going against him, laws were being made to stop him in his tracks from praying, he still knew the wise thing to do, which was to continue to pray to God, no matter what man's law was saying. Let's also have a look at Proverbs 9, and if you go down to verses 9 to 11, verses 9 to 11 of Proverbs 9 there, it says, give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. Does that tell us that God wants us to grow? Well, this is a growth statement, see? A growth statement. Be yet wiser. Increase in learning. God does not want people to be born again and then stay as babies for the rest of their Christian life. He wants people to be born again and then grow and become stronger and stronger in him. That's the way of faith. That's the way of strength. Verse 10. That's why it says in verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Nowadays, the knowledge of the holy is almost gone out the window in some places. There's a lot of compromise with the world. And the knowledge of the holy is things like the knowledge of the Holy Bible, knowledge of God's holy law and his holy ways. He is called the Holy God, and he says, be holy even as I am holy. So we are to follow him in holiness, which is against sin. It's following after righteousness. It's being people of righteousness. And we need to have that knowledge, though, within us. That knowledge of the holy is understanding. And when you understand the knowledge of the holy, you'll know that it's God's ways that'll keep you even in times of adversity and trouble. God's ways that'll strengthen you. See, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What was the fear of the Lord? We said that before. To hate evil. To hate evil. You know, there's a good love we are to have, which is to love God, love our neighbour as ourselves. And there's a bad love, to love the world, for example, to love evil. That's bad love. And the same with hate. There's a good hate, to hate evil. There's a bad hate, such as hating your brother, okay, or hating God. And there's plenty of people that are hating their brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers and people and all that type of thing, and hating God. Plenty of people around like that. But see, that's the opposite of the knowledge of the holy, isn't it? The knowledge of the holy is to be growing in wisdom. As we said before, give instruction to a wise man and he'll be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he'll increase in learning. So growing in learning, growing in strength. And notice the great benefits in verse 11. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. Now God wants your days to be multiplied. Now, that to me is not just talking about the number of days there, but your days, the productivity in your days can be multiplied. So have you ever heard people say at the end of a whole day, oh, I feel as though I've accomplished nothing today. Well, see, God can change that type of thing around for you so that your days are multiplied and you can accomplish things, a lot of things, in a short space of time. That's the type of thing speaking there. And then it also talks about the years of thy life shall be increased. Now, God doesn't want the years of your life to be increased and you're barely able to get around at your later stage of life. He wants you to be strong right up to that time as well. And so the time to be investing in strength, and I've been talking about how to do that, get into the Word, get into prayer, fasting, and the ways of God, getting a knowledge of the Holy, all of this is investing in the strength of God now. Okay, because we just read before in Proverbs 8 that I am understanding, I have strength. So this is where the strength is. And investing in that now, rather than waiting until you can barely get out of bed or you're barely able to think or things like that, when it's almost too late. No, you should be able to endure and you should be able to have years of goodness right up until the end. Okay, so there's much we could say about that, but The fact is that God wants his people to be blessed, to be increased, to be multiplied, but we have to have that understanding. We have to have that spiritual understanding, because that's what we're talking about tonight, strength and spiritual understanding. Let's have a look at Colossians 1, verses 9 to 14. Now, we've looked at this a number of times, but it's good to go through it again. Colossians 1, 9 to 14. And here we see what God wants us to have within us to be filled with. To be filled with. Now, the word filled doesn't mean empty. I know that's obvious. It also doesn't mean half empty. It doesn't mean three quarters empty. Filled means right to the top, right to the brim. In fact, he's an overflowing God, so my cup runneth over. Filled and cup runneth over. But let's have a look at what it says in Colossians 1, 9 to 14. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled. Okay, so this is the desire of the minister of God for the people of God. Okay, and proper ministers of God will desire this. Okay, they don't want people to be missing out on this, because they know that this is where strength is, this is where godliness is, this is where holiness is. That you might be filled with what? The knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Okay, so we talked a bit about wisdom just before. Wisdom is there's a godly wisdom and there's a devilish wisdom. But James talks about that. We won't go through that tonight. But we are to be filled with the knowledge of his will. What does God want? So we should be checking in our lives, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Okay. Ask the Lord in prayer. The book of James is very clear. It tells us that we ought to say, perhaps we should turn to that. Just keep your finger in Colossians 1. Just turn across to James chapter 3. James 3. We should be people who are looking constantly to the Lord to know what his will is. We are bought with a price, the Bible says. We are not our own. That doesn't mean that we're slaves. You know, the modern versions talk about us being slaves to God. Well, that's all wrong. The proper Bible says that we are servants of God and willing servants of God. And so we are to be looking to God constantly. And James 3, 13 to 17 says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Now, what does that tell you? If you're a wise person and you're endued with knowledge, that means you've got knowledge in you, you should have works that correspond with that. Okay? What's the opposite of wise works? Foolish works, isn't it? Doing what fools do. And the book of Proverbs, if you don't know what fools do, have a read through the book of Proverbs. Because it talks a lot about fools, talks a lot about the wise, but it talks a lot about fools, so that we know the difference between what do fools do and what do the wise do. It's very, very important for us to understand that. So who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. That's what I was saying before. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality. Notice it says without partiality and without hypocrisy. And we'll also go to verse 18. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So here we see what the proper wisdom of God is, the proper wisdom of God. And we know that if we have that godly wisdom in us, then when we are doing things, it's going to be shown, it's going to be seen. And then when we go across to James 4, our lives will matter, because start from verse 14, it says, verse 13, sorry. Go to now, ye that say, tomorrow, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapour that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So verse 15 says, you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that, because life is so short. We don't have time to waste it. There's a lot of people wasting it, not esteeming God, and so God doesn't esteem them or what they do. But, you know, we have an opportunity now in this world which is full of sin, which is full of compromise, to be able to go against that grain and stand in the Lord and say, Lord, what is your will here? I know there's many voices speaking, but what do you want? What do you want, Lord? Okay, so go back to Colossians 1 now. You should have your finger in there. Colossians 1, we'll read verse 9 again. And it says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. There's that word increasing again. Increasing in the knowledge of God. So what happens when you have the knowledge of God's will? Well, he wants you to walk worthy unto all pleasing. And that's the result that comes out of, and you're fruitful in every good work, and you're increasing in the knowledge of God. Verse 11 says, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So we could go on there, but it talks about that strength that comes in verse 11, strengthened with all might. Is there a connection between seeking the Lord for his will, in fact, being filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding? Is there a connection? And being strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. As it says, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Is there a connection? Yes, there's a definite connection. Because if you're going along your own way outside of the will of God, you are exposing yourself to all types of things that are destructive and that can cause you to go astray. And you open yourself up to weakness and so on. You know, even in the Lord's Supper, it says in, I think it's 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about if people don't examine themselves, it says many are weak and sickly and sleep. That is, have died. So there's people that now call themselves Christians, but if you try to speak to them about the Word of God, they cannot stomach it because they haven't been trained in that. They haven't been raised up in that type of way. But that doesn't have to be us. We shouldn't be like that at all. If we look at Proverbs 4, verses 18 to 20, let's have a look at that. We see the type of weakness that can come into people's lives if they don't go the way of the Lord, if they don't have the fear of the Lord, if they don't have godly wisdom in their lives. Proverbs 4, verses 18 to 20. Now, that shouldn't be us. If we are born-again believers, as I said before, we should be growing. We don't stay as spiritual babies, but we should be growing. And it's no use looking around and saying, well, that person, you know, they say that they're Christians and yet they're doing this. No, no. Well, there's a lot of people doing that type of thing that they might be doing the wrong thing. But if they say they're Christians, they should be matching up with the Word of God, because the will of God is found in His Word, and He'll speak to you according to that. Proverbs 4, starting verse 18, it says, "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." So that's us. We should be shining more and more. That's getting stronger and stronger. "The way of the wicked is as darkness, they know not at what they stumble." Okay, so this is an enormous problem with those who aren't born again. They're in wickedness, they're in darkness, and they know not at what they stumble. They know that a lot of them know there's something wrong, but they just don't know why or how or what. But they know that there's something wrong. If you talk to the average person, they know that there's something really wrong with the planet Earth. There's so much death, destruction, all types of things. So that they know that there seems to be this ongoing curse, but they are in darkness, spiritual darkness. The Bible calls it blindness. And the only solution to that is if they come into believing God. And by believing God, it starts to open them up, and they've got to first of all believe the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. And so that's very, very important for us to understand that. So we'll finish with Proverbs 3, verses 4 to 8. Proverbs 3, 4 to 8. A wonderful section of scripture. And we know this scripture pretty well, I would say, in our church, because we've quoted it a lot of times. Proverbs 3. And we're looking at verse 4. Actually, we'll go back to verse 3. We'll start in verse 3 of Proverbs 3. "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart." Okay, so you're writing mercy and truth upon the table of your heart. That tells us that your heart is like a tablet that can be written on. Okay, that's what it's talking about there. Do you think there's a lot of rubbish written on people's hearts? I think there is. Some people, they need a complete tablet completely rubbed out and start again and get the table of their heart written with mercy and truth. Verse 4, "So shall thou find favour and good understanding." This is its spiritual understanding. "Find favour and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." So who should be trusting? Who should you be trusting with all your heart? The Lord, isn't it? Should you be leaning to your own understanding? You know, it could be quite... Looking at our present circumstances, it could be quite puzzling. But if you understand the big picture, that Christ will have his victory in the earth, if you understand the big picture, that he is Lord, okay, not man, he is Lord, then you're not leaning to your own understanding. You're saying, Lord... And if you don't understand, a good thing to do is to come to the Lord and ask him, and he'll start to show you through his word. Verse 6, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Well, that's what you want. You want to be a person that's not wise in your own eyes, because wisdom and the fear of the Lord is connected. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, remember. Depart from evil. So the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, okay? And you will depart from evil because you hate it. You will depart from evil because you hate it. And living this type of life has a direct effect on your health. That's why I'm talking about, you know, investing that time in the Word of God and prayer and doing and the ways of God. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer, and I pray that you have something to really think about tonight, because this is an important area if we are to be strong people in the earth today. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you, Lord, for your strength that's made available to us. You have said for us to be strong in the Lord, in the power of your might, and Lord, that's what we do. We are strong in you in the power of your might, and we praise you, Lord, for that. Thank you for giving us strength. Thank you for showing us the way of your strength. I pray that every person here, you give wisdom and understanding, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.